I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day as we begin another weekend together here on a Saturday. Temperature is going to be warming back into the 90s today after getting a little bit of a break. But hey, you want to talk about a break. If you're headed out this weekend and then starting your week in the outdoors Monday, Tuesday, be prepared because temperatures down here in the valley are only going to be lower 70s, and that could mean some cold nights if you're up at elevation. So we'll just throw that out there for those of you that have some weekend plans, and we hope you do. But thanks for taking KSL Outdoors Radio along. I'm Tim Hughes in the studios of KSL, and again, a reminder, we're recording this program midday on Thursday, as we expect about a 30% chance of showers here this afternoon. Joining me from the Sky Call Camp up in the Sugar House area is Russell Smith. Hello, sir.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing good up here.
That's good.
Just about ready to turn the air conditioning on.
You live in a great neighborhood, Russ. I'm always impressed with
it is.
What I show up there.
It's one of the great fully developed areas, you know. Has some real heritage in the valley, I think. That's what I love about it.
We feel fortunate to live here. We bought houses when they were cheap.
Yeah.
I could never move up here now.
Yeah.
That was before rubber tires?
It was what?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Before I was thinking wagon wheels came down the valley. I like that spot on the hill right there.
Yeah.
I remember I had a freight wagon and a great team of horses when we moved in.
That's the only way to get up on that side of the valley back then. By the way, that other voice that you hear in the background,
the man from the mountains coming,
of course, is Matt Adamskis. I was going to say the old man from the mountain, but you've been gone this past week, far from the mountain.
Yeah, but I'm back in the mountain now. In fact, I'm perched under a pine tree. I had to tell you, this dang crow or raven was squawking. I had to get on a rock because he was going to ruin radio. I was like, come on, I know this is an outdoor show, but we don't need you squawking birds.
Actually, usually we have to pipe in fake animal sounds around here. I'd prefer to have the real thing. That's all right with me. No, but you've been off the mountain for a while. You were down at Lake Powell, and I can't wait to hear of the adventure. We're going to take a couple of opportunities. We'll talk fishing at Lake Powell coming up on Fish Bites, but I also want to educate myself and our listeners a little bit with the idea of houseboating on Lake Powell. I can't, you know, when you think of vacation opportunities that have gone away because of our corona crisis, that's one where you could do some real social distancing and just be with the folks you love and probably live with already.
You know, it was the absolute perfect thing to do. We had a vacation planned for this past week. We were going to Mexico, to Cabo. We had a hacienda rented, and of course that all fell through. And my wife says, don't ruin this vacation. She goes, think of someplace we can go where there's no COVID. And that's what I came up with. And, you know, it felt like COVID 19 was a million miles away.
Yeah.
It was like civilization, like, oh, back in the real world, they're suffering. But we have no communication about this, so we didn't even know. I mean, we don't know anything. It was awesome.
Yeah, you had a little communication. You took a SkyCall satellite phone with you, but that was voluntary.
Right, right. And I only, like I say, turned it on during that half hour or hour with you guys on the radio.
Man.
I mean, you know, that was it. We don't know anything. We didn't know what had happened or if COVID killed everybody when we came back. Because you really are just way in the middle of nowhere. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful feeling to just be isolated with your family way out of the sticks.
Yeah.
Beautiful water, beautiful views, plenty of food.
I had this conversation with my daughter a little while ago, because they have a piece of property up in Idaho, just outside of Ashton. And they were up there on the property when we had the riots in downtown Salt Lake City. They didn't have a clue. And by the time they got back, it had blown over. So, you know, it's sort of a lesson if you can disengage yourself from this cycle and give your mind and your body a rest, it'll do wonders for you.
Absolutely. My depression went far, far away.
Yeah. I think we may have lost Russ. Russ, are you just still there? Yeah, we lost Russell. Hopefully he'll call back in. Let me just give a quick rundown of what's coming up on the show. By the way, back to the topic, and we'll do this coming up later in the show. We'll talk about houseboats. You know, approximate cost depends on where you get it, of course, whether you get it from Aramark, which I think is still the supplier. At Lake Powell, but you can also get it on the Antelope, what do they call that, Antelope Flats in the Narrows.
Yeah.
You can also rent over there, so there's a little bit of a variance in price depending on the size of the boat. But we last did it with our family all the way back in 2010, so it's been a decade. And my kids to this day still say it was their favorite vacation.
It's pretty amazing. We hadn't been there for 11 years, and it was every bit as good as we remember. And in fact, we want to do it again. My wife just wants to do it with another couple, and she likes the paddleboarding, and we get back into the canyons and see no humans, just petroglyphs, and, you know, the feeling of paddleboarding naked comes over you because it's so awesome and so quiet.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is you can do as much or as little as you want to do, depending on how you feel that day. And you can fish right off the back of the boat. If you have a power boat in tow, which some people do, then you can spend part of the day on the water toys or out water skiing or just about anything else. So it really is a great way to go. All right, let's talk about what's coming up on the show today. So along with talking about Lake Powell, both the fishing side and on the houseboat side, we'll do that on the show, but we'll also check in with Bob Grove, who will be with us for the one tank trip of the week, and he's going to take us to Hurricane Valley. I don't have a lot of experience with Hurricane Valley, but we'll share his ideas of a one tank trip for those of you trying to stay close to home. Bruce Johnson will also join us. I hear your friend in the background.
Yeah, he came back. I chased him away.
That's good stuff. We'll have Bruce Johnson on with us. He's an aquatic invasive species lieutenant. There are some laws that have now kicked up, and I guess they'll start July 1st that boaters need to be aware of that will help in the spread of quagga mussel, hopefully, speaking of Lake Powell. And we'll also head to the higher country. Andrew will join us from Alta. Their summer activities are going to be opening up soon, so I want to make sure that we run through all of those. Russ, did we get you back?
You do. I guess I'm first caller of the day.
Time for the first call of the day.
Yeah.
You're headed. When this airs, you will have already done this, but you have a PGR mission today, I understand.
Yeah, I got a bug out pretty quick here. About in a half hour or so. We're escorting an honor bench. That sounds kind of weird, but it will be a stone bench being placed in a cemetery in honor of fallen military.
Hmm.
And so we're just headed to Evanston with it. We got to pick it up in Grantsville and head to Evanston, and we're meeting the Wyoming Patriot Guard in Evanston, and they're going to escort it across Wyoming to Custer, I believe Custer, Montana.
How cool
is that? Or Custer,
South
Dakota.
Yeah.
South Dakota, I believe. Yeah.
Will the guard be involved at all? And by the time this interview airs, of course, it will have already happened. But the return of the the pilot that died in the training mission last week, will you be involved with that at all?
I believe so. We don't get any details until the last minute because they don't want anything made public.
Yeah.
But I don't know when that's going to happen. We hear about it, and then there's a whole process, which we don't need to go into. But, you know, sometimes it can take up to 2 weeks till the remains are returned to their family.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that. We've been following the story on KSL on Utah's Morning News all week. All right, guys, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will have some news of the week. Either of you ever had frog legs?
I knew you were going there.
Did you see that story this week?
Down in Nolens.
Down in Nolens.
If they were presented to me, I would eat them. I mean, it's just meat like anything else.
Well, we have an invasive bullfrog problem in the state of Utah, and they're encouraging it. There's no limit on how many of these things you can catch, but some of them are as big as the dog that used to live in my house for 13 years. There's a lot of meat on those legs. We'll tell you how you can go hunting for frogs. I think the kids would probably love it. And whether they need them or not, that's a second question. News of the week is next.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time for some news of the week as we get back to it here on KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim Hughes in the studios at Broadcast House, and the guys, wherever they are, Russ up there at camp in Sugar House, and really at camp.
Yeah.
Navinovskis back from Lake Powell is back in the mobile studio, or what do you call that thing now? I've even forgotten.
Well, recently we've been calling it the party bus.
Okay, the party bus.
But yeah, I came home from Lake Powell to go camping.
There you go. And it sounds like it's nice up there today. I would love to get away myself for a couple of days. Maybe we'll come see and we'll have a little Barbie.
I would love it. We could barbecue. I'm just laying on a golf course under a pine tree.
Attaboy. All right, let's talk about this. I asked you before the break, either of you had frog legs before? You said you had, Navi.
Yeah, just one time down in Nolens, and I was surprised. They tasted a little fishy. I mean, there's a hint of fish in them.
Yeah, and I've heard they're chewy, but everybody says tastes like chicken, which is kind of, the standard line. Russ,
the way they season them, oh my gosh!
Well,
good.
Yeah,
I mean, but you can season a cactus the way they do it down there to be good.
Yeah, there's some great Cajun recipes for them. Anyway, here's the story, and you'll find it on our Facebook page. I copied it over from the division, but breeding populations of bullfrogs, I guess, have been active in Utah since the 1970s. But they don't know when the first invasive amphibian made it to the Beehive State. And these guys, these bullfrogs, if you get a chance to look at the picture, you got to take a look at them. They can grow to be over 2 pounds. And there's a couple of guys that are holding a gaggle of them. I don't know what you'd say when you've got a bunch, but they're both holding many of them that they have caught and I guess are going to take and have a meal out of. But some of these things are as big as like a chihuahua.
Oh, yeah, they're monsters.
Chihuahua?
Yeah, you got to look at these pictures.
I don't know. I don't know what you call a group of bullfrogs.
I don't know, but here's the problem. They said the
bullpen.
The bullfrogs are such a generalist predator is one of the reasons why this herpetologist is saying that they're a problem in the state of Utah. So bad, first and foremost. They'll eat anything. They said they'll eat anything they can fit in their mouth. Bats, mice, small birds. That's how big these things are. They have found all of those things in a bullfrog's stomach. And they said bullfrogs are also known to predate at least three species of amphibians that Utah considers a species of greatest conservation need, all frogs. But they're looking for the help of Utahns, even if you don't want to eat them. They're telling you to feel free to go out and have, I guess, an entertaining day. looking for these bullfrogs.
Yeah, gig 'em is what they say. That means, you know, stick 'em with a fork-shaped spear. Yeah.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Do frogs have teeth? Do frogs have teeth?
You know, they're little spiny ones that are just on
the little nubs,
About
like a fish, huh?
Well, no, I think they have a huge mouth. I mean, you hear them. And so whatever it is, just goes right into the stomach when they open their mouth. Like, you know, snakes, they don't chew things. They just swallow them.
Well, I guess they're easy to find if you just follow the noise at night, because the males this time of year, late spring, early summer, really do make a ruckus at night as they're making their mating calls out there. But the question is, where do you find them? So they're found in Fish Springs National Wildlife Refuge out in the West Desert.
Oh, yeah.
Matheson Wetlands near Moab is another spot. They said most of the Virgin River in Washington County and most of the freshwater wetlands that surround Utah Lake and Great Salt Lake are good places to be looking. But
I do know how deep they are. Generally, what water, the depth of water they like.
And?
Knee deep.
Knee deep, I get it. Here's what I said a minute ago, though. No limit, no season. A license is not required to catch them. However, one of the favorite ways of going after them is with fishing gear. And so you might need a fishing license just in case you happen to catch a fish along the way.
Down in Arizona as a kid, we used to use that stink bait for catfish. But we dangle that stink bait over the frogs, and they jump into the air to eat it.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or you just tie a rope to the hind legs of your chihuahua and hook them in.
All right, so here's the favorite method. I can't believe we've never talked about this before. They said a favorite method, adding a grasshopper and a bobber or a floater bass popper, a floating bass popper. But they also say using a bow fishing gear is a great way to go about it, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Tastes like
a head lamp, and away you go.
They said tastes like chicken, just a little chewier. And that Field and Stream suggests battering frog legs in pancake batter and frying them served with maple syrup. Or the Cajun Chef. Here you go, Nav. Said you can't go wrong with a little Cajun seasoning. That must have been what you experienced down there in New Orleans.
Well, we got them as an appetizer. And I'm the only one that ate them, actually, when people found out what they were.
Anyway, you want to see the pictures, you really ought to take a look. They are on our Facebook page. And,
Is it primarily the legs that you eat, or do you eat any more of the body than
I've only heard of the legs.
Me too. And, you know, the size of the frogs, you'd think there'd be a lot of meat on them, but I don't know anybody that eats them other than the legs.
Yeah. Anyway, that sort of consumed, speaking of eating, that sort of consumed all of our news of the week here, but I thought it was fun and something that may be a little off the radar of most people, but something maybe they'd like to go out, and I know the kids would have a blast. My kids, again, we talk about favorite memories. My kids up at Strawberry, particularly on that boat ramp on the Soldier Creek side, used to love to go out at night with a bucket and a net, and they would load up on crawdads up there. And this would be a lot like that, I would think, for kids of all ages to go looking for these giant bullfrogs. All right.
I agree.
Yeah, we need to break. We'll do that when we come back. We will be joined by Bob Grove. We're going to be talking about a one-tank trip of the week. He wants to head to Hurricane Valley. So stay with us. That conversation after we get you a news update on the half hour.